They're in almost every backyard, every dog park, every beach. I'm talking about labradoodles, the original oodle that's been really part of Australian families for decades. And the labradoodle has sparked oodles of other doodles, golden doodles, groodles, cavoodles. Okay, I own a cavoodle. I have to own up at some point. I speak from experience when I talk about cavoodles, of course, because they are the cutest of all oodles, and you can text in and contest that claim. 0418 226 576 is the text line. The labradoodle was originally bred as a guide dog, so why does the man behind the breed say creating it is one of his greatest regrets?
I opened a Pandora box and released a Frankenstein monster. Back in the 80s, we received a letter from a lady in Hawaii. She was blind, but her husband was allergic to guide dogs. And she wanted to know if we could come up with a dog that she could use as a guide dog and her husband wouldn't be allergic to.
That's Wally Conran, the man who created the labradoodle, in his words, a Frankenstein's monster. I mean, he's not mincing words there. He's really getting right into it. ABC RN producer Fiona Pepper has been looking into the history of the labradoodle for the sum of all parts. Hello.
Hi, PK.
Okay, so I'm alarmed but also intrigued. The labradoodle these days is usually thought of as a designer breed, but that wasn't the case 30 years ago. It was created as a guide dog. That's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, it is. But Wally had a purpose. He needed to come up with a dog, an appropriate guide dog for a woman whose husband, well, she was obviously blind and her husband had allergies to long-haired dogs, i.e. the Labrador. And he started off, he went, oh, well, I know, I'll just use the standard poodle. It's a non-shedding breed of dog. It should work fine. Years and years later, over 30 different attempts at using a standard poodle, they just weren't going to work. They had temperament problems, they had health problems, and that's when he decided to come up with the idea of putting a standard poodle and a Labrador together.
So they needed something with the temperament of a Labrador and the coat of a poodle. How much work was involved in actually creating the dog?
So much, because at the time, this is the mid-80s, there was a real bias towards pure breeds. And Wally needed to find an appropriate standard poodle to put with a Labrador. And so, I mean, it was more political than anything, just trying to find people that will essentially take part in this world first science experiment. But he was lucky enough because his boss at Guide Dogs Victoria had a standard poodle. So that's when the magic happened. And
in 1989, that litter was successful.
It was. It was a small litter. They had three pups, world's first labradoodle pups. And the successful pup that went off to Hawaii, his name was Sultan. And apparently he was a beautiful guide dog and lived for many years after.
It can be tough to get an oodle puppy these days. How popular are labradoodles, I mean, in the beginning compared to now?
Oh, well, they weren't popular at all. And for starters, they were referred to as poodle crosses. You know, Wally hadn't come up with the labradoodle name.
Yeah, the doodle really changed everything.
Exactly. So Sultan basically disappeared to Hawaii, got started. He was working as the guide dog in Hawaii. But Wally still had these two other poodle crosses that he'd put so much work into, but nobody wanted them. You know, nobody wanted a guide dog that was a cross. So he was super frustrated, and that's when he went to the marketing team at Guide Dogs Victoria and went, we have to do something. Aha, if we call them labradoodles, then someone will take them. And little did he know that it wasn't just for the visually impaired community. You know, labradoodles were going to go nuts.
So then they took off as a trendy dog at some point.
Yep, a very trendy dog. It wasn't just for visually impaired with allergies. It was for everyone. And it wasn't just a labradoodle. It was he inspired the oodle craze, the cavoodle,
Have you seen how cute cavoodles are?
I have. And they're beautiful dogs. But he, funnily enough, wasn't breeding them for their looks.
Mm. That's mainly why people buy them, though. Wally Conran has said that creating the labradoodle is one of his greatest regrets, which is quite an intense statement. Yeah. Why?
So he says it's his greatest regret because it was a professional dog breeder. He paid really close attention to the genetics of the mother and father to create the best quality dog he possibly could. He then feels like, you know, with the Labradoodle craze, people weren't paying attention to the genetics. The motivation was more in money rather than creating a really good quality dog. So that's where his regret lies. His regret is also that, you know, everyone wants to create their own breed, their own new breed of dog. So he reckons there was sort of inappropriate crossbreeds that have been created.
So I've got to find out what happened to Sultan, I suppose.
Well, Sultan's story is beautiful. He lived in Hawaii. Then he was ready to retire as a guide dog. And he actually came back to Australia. And he lived with a man called John Gosling, who worked at Guide Dogs Victoria with Wally. And for the last 3 years of his life, he lived in Melbourne. And when I went to interview John for this story, we were sitting in his backyard drinking a cup of tea and, you know, he pointed over at Sultan's grave. He's buried in the backyard, much like any family pet. But this pet's really special.
Where can we hear more of this story?
You can listen to this story on the ABC Listen app if you head to Sum of All Parts. And the program is called Labradoodle of Regret.
You never, ever, ever regret an oodle. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks,
Fiona. Fiona Pepper, Radio National producer. And of course, she just told us Sum of All Parts is how you find the podcast. While you're at it,